won't listen to anything on secular radio. So I didn't while I was singing in his musical group. And so, I mean, you know, I kind of went and listened to the Imperials and Mylon Lefevre and all those Christian rock bands, which was the same music, right? And I got in trouble for that anyway. But I didn't have to sign that I wouldn't do that, right? But I missed a lot of this stuff. And so now I just really appreciate 70s on 7. And by the way, Lynette, wherever you are, I could just see Anne and Mary, a heart duo soon, okay? Can you pull that one off? Magic Man or something like that? You think you can pull that one off? So she just looked like heart up here. Did you notice that's heart? She just looked like heart. You know, I just think that's the way it was. That's the way it should be. Well, look, today we're going to do something a little different. Stephen's kind of giving you a little advance notice, and I have no idea what we're doing. So we're going to work on this together. Now, first of all, we've got Scott and Jamie and maybe a couple of other folks that are going to be passing out some stuff that should have been in your WhatsApp this morning. It was not. It's because my fault. I took my dad to the Braves games Friday night and yesterday afternoon for his birthday this year. And, you know, I'm tired of my brothers always upping me with my dad's birthday present. So I said, I'm going to go for broke this year. And so I said, Dad, why don't we just go down for a couple of games when they play the Cardinals? And so anyway, I got back real late last night because they played a 4 o'clock game. I was thinking, well, that'll give me time to get back. But it went 13 innings, right? We didn't stay for all of it, but they did win on a walk-off in the bottom of the 13th, which was a good thing. But anyway, sorry for the fact that this was not prepared for you already. That was my bad. What you're being handed is a listing of the questions, review questions, if you will, not questions, but points, over the last three messages that I have done. Now, Todd kind of took a little different angle on the purple people leader. I got to be careful how I say that. The purple leader, purple people leader angle last week. And so, I'm sorry? PPL. Okay. All right, that's good. Pacific Power and Light, something like that is what I think of. By the way, there is a song by Pacific Power and Light, right? What was it, Ken, that we're going to do soon, too? That's in the queue. Are you ready? Yeah, that's one, too. So now, if y'all really, huh? It doesn't matter. It's before you were born, but you'll like the music. It's like all guys your age now are listening to music we listen to. So, you know, you'll like that. It's a Christian song. By the way, do you know, just a little, Kansas, you know, the song we just did this morning, Kelly Livgren was a very committed Christian. Do you realize that? I mean, and a lot of the lyrics that Kansas... You know, he was probably the only one, he might have been the only one in the group that really was, but he was really kind of the influencer in the group. Just a little trivia here. And, you know, a lot of the lyrics of the songs, while they may not be overtly God, Jesus Christ, etc., you can understand the spiritual search that he identified with and the people that he was with would identify with. So when we do songs like that, that's kind of the stuff we kind of look for because we think that the search is just as important as finding the answer. Does that make sense? And so we want to really emphasize the totality of the journey in Christ and getting to Christ and moving beyond that initial contact and growing and living. So, you know, I want to encourage you to really understand and really follow what our team's singing up here and all that good stuff. And so, but what I want you to do is we're going to take a quick look, and Ron has the... We're going to move through this real quickly, just to give you some real quick, in these 15 or 16 points, to review the last 3 weeks on the PPL type thing that we've been doing around leadership. And we're changing up today as a result of some conversation in staff meeting where some of you have been kind of, you know, leaking some of your thoughts to some of our staff members and maybe some areas where we need a little more clarity and some understanding. So we're going to challenge you today, and today is going to be more of a seat work day. You're going to be doing some seat work today, and I want you to be aware of that, and I want you to be okay with that. But it's for your own good, right? Now, when you were a kid, when somebody told you, this is for your own good, you had to sit there and take it. You had to do it, right? But you know what happens when we are adults? We have a tendency when we're told it's for your own good, we exercise our own adult authority now, and we a lot of times we'll get up and walk out or just not participate. So I don't want you to fall into that temptation today. I want you to take advantage of an opportunity to think introspectively and to grow a little bit. But real quickly, let's go through the first few things that we talked about leadership on this recap. Ron, what's the first heading we got there? We're going to move real quickly, Ron, okay? Like, real quickly, Ron. Yeah, there we go. Okay. what are five components of moral authority? The first thing we said was influence. Others notice when you have moral authority, right? You don't have to talk about yourself. Others do it for you, okay? Others do it for you because you simply live on... You can skip over that, Ron. It's okay. We don't need scripture today. But no, I'm just playing. No. What we did was, look, for the purposes of your... we put the scriptures out. We're going to go back to the scriptures to that a little bit later on. But we put the reference beside the point because we want you to take an opportunity, if you don't, if you haven't already, to do some studying on your own on these passages. The second piece of moral authority is teamwork, which is understanding you're part of a larger process that requires others doing their part to ensure success. In this situation, there is no jealousy, only camaraderie. Now, are you a person that when you're, you know, when you see something happening, you get jealous, or are you willing to jump in and have a heart that's very cooperative and collaborative? That's the kind of thing we're talking about. The next thing that we like to think about is open-mindedness, which is the ability to think critically. Remember, we challenged you about this. Are you a person who can think critically? And what does that mean? The thinking critically involves the ability to collect relevant information, to accurately analyze that information, and to make quality decisions. You've got to have the ability to think critically. Again, that does not mean, oh, Bud told me I can be critical. So, honey, can I tell you about your pot roast that you fixed for lunch today? It's not real. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? And I'm not talking about that at all. Critical thinking is a careful analytical process that is equally amenable to positive outcomes and negative outcomes, okay? So I can be critical and be telling you something positive just as I could be critical and telling you something negative. Does that make sense? If I'm going through the critical evaluation process. So the fourth thing is emotional security. This results in a quiet calmness that a few things. Your values are grounded in healthy beliefs. Your decisions are consistently based on those values, and you don't have to rely on others to have significance in who you are. That's emotional significance, emotional maturity. Now, I am going to be giving you a link, and Todd, would you help me remember this? We're going to send you out a link this week to a free online survey that you can download in terms of a PDF where you can analyze your own emotional maturity. And we're going to do this with our staff this week. They don't know it yet, but we are. And we're going to I'm going to encourage the elders to do that. We're going to do that as an elder group as well. I had hoped to get to this point before Rick walked in. But anyway, I guess I didn't have a chance to tip him off. But anyway, somebody can go between services, kind of console him. He's actually just looking for an excuse to go eat some of the snow cones before y'all get to him, by the way. So don't forget the snow cones between services. Here's another one. Accountability, which is accepting and expecting responsibility. I'm sorry, y'all. I went to bed at 2:00 and I'm a little jumpy, jittery, what he did to me. Accepting and expecting responsibility enough to respectfully risk speaking the truth. Okay? Remember we talked about so often our conversations involve the first 80 to 85 to 90% maybe, but a lot of times we don't go that extra 5, 10, 15%, and that's where the gold is a lot of times. That's where the tough things usually get said. We got to make sure that we go the distance in those conversations respectfully and lovingly, okay? A lot of times we think communicating negative things or things that might be critical or constructive often involves being ugly. It doesn't have to be that way. You can make it ugly if you want. You can kind of, your voice can begin to rise and you can begin to get this stern, tone and all this stuff. But, you know, that's not necessary and that's really not proper. So those are the elements of moral authority. The next set, Ron, that we've got is moving right along here. Are we okay? Trying to find it there, buddy? Yeah, we're okay. Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's what we just said. We can move on beyond that. Yeah. All right, what are the fundamentals of leadership? Some things that Jesus showed us. Remember when he was feeding the, how many? 5,000 plus, right? Some things that came up in that particular story that we read. First of all, self-management. Great leaders seek first to take care of themselves so they can be productive. Also so that they can what? So that they can take care of others, okay? Do you take care of yourself first? I asked you that day, remember, do you have a regimen that describes your own personal spiritual development process? Do you have something that's regular, that's routine, that you can pretty much bank on, rely on, where you're working on yourself? The next thing, servanthood. Leaders are always externally focused on the needs of others, all right? That's another one. Are you focused on the needs of others? The next one, responsiveness. Leaders naturally take action. Remember when Jesus was like, he was trying to teach the disciples, remember? You guys got to do something. Now figure out what it is you need to do. Leaders always are ready to take action. I heard a great interview last night anniversary yesterday of 9/11 with Rudy Giuliani. And I don't think anybody, you know, wherever you are with Giuliani, I agree with some things with him and some things I don't. I got to admit, he's one of the most incredible leaders. The display of leadership after 9/11 was one of the greatest things I've ever seen with what he did. And he was a man ready to take action, ready to calm people down, and ready to move things forward. So that's a great example. Here's another one. Resourcefulness. Leaders make use of whatever they have at their disposal. Feeding the 5,000 plus, what did they use? Yeah, a couple of fish and some bread, right? The little kid had in a lunch box, right? And so resourcefulness, leaders make use of whatever they have. Spontaneity, leaders stay ready to have positive impact. Spontaneity, live a spontaneous life. Be ready to move at a moment's notice. Some of us, it's so difficult for us to do that. We don't move. We want to drag things out. Sometimes we can fall into the paralysis of analysis. You got to find a balance. We got to do right things. We've got to make good decisions, but also we can't overanalyze things to the point where we're just totally inactive. And going to the next one, how do we lead others to do their part? Remember, Jesus was trying to get the disciples to kind of take over doing some of his stuff. He was beginning the process of what? Changing over responsibility for the ministry from himself to them as he was preparing here in this particular story, if you remember, was right at the turn of that, between that second and third year of his ministry. And so he was beginning to prepare the disciples for the day where he would physically not be there anymore, and they would be empowered by the Holy Spirit. He was teaching them some principles. And so what did he teach them that day? He taught them about empowerment. The leader empowers others by assigning appropriate responsibility and authority to his followers and her followers. All right, that's empowerment. Empowerment's important. You've got to make sure that you tell people what you want them to do, but you also have to delegate to them the authority to make that happen. All right, here's the next one. Encouragement. The leader encourages people to use their own resourcefulness. Here's another one. Exploration. The leader teaches followers to explore possible solutions. Look at everything. Teach your kids. Teach people you work with. You yourself. Look at multiple options. Here's what we do a lot of times in this jumpy society in which we live in. The first possible thing that might work, we jump on. Rather than looking, and again, I'm able to make a pretty decent moonlighting career by helping companies and governmental agencies and churches understand how not to do that and how not to jump to something that looks like it's going to work, but rather to focus on figuring out what the best possible solution might be. In the long run, you're going to get a lot more mileage out of those things that truly you're going to be able to, you know, find the best solution around. Here's the next one. Expedition. The leader logically expedites a project by breaking it down into manageable steps. Don't try to eat the whole elephant at once, right? Jesus did what with the disciples that day in the 5,000? What did he do? Broke them up in small groups of, and knowing Todd, he probably referred to that last week, right? Quite a bit, right? I know he did. So, he broke them down into groups of how many? 50, right? Because why? Because he said, I want you guys to have some success here. And as you break down something, we were coming back last night. I told my dad, I said, okay, Dad, you know, I'm really dreading this. I'm not good at night. We might crash and die because I don't really, I'm not a night person. I said, so we're going to look at this trip as Atlanta to Greenville, Greenville to Charlotte, and Charlotte to home. And that way I felt like each time I made a segment, you know, I kind of felt, okay, I made it that far. You know, we can make it the next one, right? So find ways to expedite and to break things down into manageable pieces and parts. Here's the next one. Enablement. The leader enables his followers to carry out the solution. He helps them. He said, okay, guys, I've got them in small groups for you. I've given you the preparation, but I'm not going to go any further with this. Now you're going to do it. At some point, you got to say, you're going to do it. We do this with our children. We do it with folks we work with, etc. The next one, efficiency. The leader teaches followers to be efficient by maximizing resources. What did they do after the 5,000 were fed? What do you remember what the last step was? Clean up. And what was the cleanup all about? Filling up all these baskets with leftovers. How can you have leftovers when you start out with 2 and 5, okay, in terms of fish and bread? And so finally, the last one we have is there another one after that? Oh, no, it's not. That's it. That's it. Sorry, Ron. You were right. You were looking for another one, and there wasn't one on there, was it? So these are the points I want you to understand. I want you to think about. Now, here's what I want you to do. In your What's Up Today is a little table. And on that table, we're going to go over it. I'm going to spend a few minutes going over it. And this is where your seat work is. Now, can I say a few things about followers? And I don't have this on your outline. On the back of that, if you want to write some of this stuff down, you can do that, okay? Let me tell you some things about followers. You don't have to be a leader in everything, okay? Some of you might have walked away from the last few weeks' messages feeling inferior or feeling out of place or whatever because you thought, but you heard Bud saying, you got to be a leader in everything. Well, if everybody tries to lead, there's going to be a cataclysmic, chaotic convergence of minds and wills and egos. That and you don't have to write those words down. Okay, I saw y'all kind of like, what did he say? Rick Martin wrote them down though. He came back, okay, because he went and took the emotional maturity survey and realized that he really is mature, and so he came back in to demonstrate his maturity. Right, Rick, you went out and took the survey.
That was all I needed to know.
Okay, good. All right, so anyway. Here's a couple things about followers. Number one, followers understand who they. Followers know who the leader is. They know who they're following. Okay, followers know who they're leading or who they're following. Excuse me. Okay, followers know who they are following. Secondly, is this. Followers understand that following is a prerequisite for leadership. Okay? You got to be a good follower before you can be a good leader. So many people try to jump to the lead without learning how to follow. And, you know, 99 times out of 99 times, that's going to result in disaster. They're going to be disastrous. Okay? Followers are more responsive to influential leadership rather than positional leadership, okay? Unfortunately, most of our leadership structures today, including the government systems that we have, while the electoral process is we're the greatest in the world, okay? Unfortunately, the electoral process does not necessarily, it's based on position. We can vote in some pretty sorry doggone leaders, okay? Why? Because it's based on the position that we hold, that they hold, and not the actual influence, the nature, the basis of influence of the individuals. We can also vote in some great leaders as well. But it's not a foolproof leadership development system. And there's one more I was thinking about this morning. What was it? Followers or finishers? Followers or finishers? I was reminded of this last night when I got home and I saw where one of my children, I won't tell you which one it was, had to go get a checkbook somewhere on my desk. And there was the checkbook just kind of thrown on the counter, and there was the box opened up with all the other checkbooks that had been used or partially used, like out on my desk, you know. People leave your cabinet doors open all the time, you know, instead of closing them. Am I stepping on some toes now? Are you a finisher? Do you finish things? Or just kind of leave it as is? I've told you a lot of times that if you want to know who the servant and the finisher is in the house, find the person who always changes the roll on the toilet paper, right? That's the servant, that's the finisher, all right? I mean, how many times is there with an empty roll on the thingy, right? And you got the piece of toilet paper on the sink, like, beside you, you know? Stuff like that just kind of goes against human nature. Well, not against human nature, but I think it should go against human nature. So here's what I want you to do. Go to this leader-follower balance. Go to leader-follower. Are we getting any questions in yet? You guys are supposed to be tweeting questions too. Should we tell them anything, Ron or Stephen? Should we tell them anything about what to tweet questions to? Huh? We set for this? Because y'all did get the word on this, huh? Huh? What's up? All right, here you go. What's up? All right. You see it? Anytime you want to text to that number, all right, the 524-4728. All right. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to answer these questions. We're going to take about 5 minutes or so, and then we're going to talk about them. For each area of your spiritual journey, going down the left-hand side of the chart, place a small check in the box that most closely reflects the role you play most of the time in those areas. All right. Now, you notice we've given you a little bit of space to jot a couple of notes. If you check the follower box in the space provided in the box, please answer the questions, who am I following, and is this the right role for me, why or why not? It may very well be the right role for you. Nothing wrong with that. I just want you to know why it's the right role for you, okay? We need to have some self-awareness around that. Secondly, if you place an X in the leading box, in the space provided in the box, please answer the question, who am I leading? If you say you're a leader around something, you better know who you're leading. Is this the right box for me, why or why not? And if you place an X in the not engaged box in the space provided in the box, please answer the questions, why am I not engaged and what do I need to get engaged? Okay? I need to get a ring from my boyfriend, right? No, I didn't mean it that way. But, you know, take a shot at that, okay? I'm going to actually walk around, and if you got any questions, when you answer your question, I'll cut my mic off. I promise I will, just like I did there. But if you got any questions, just feel free to ask me to clarify. Now, just before we get going, does everybody understand the assignment? Okay? All these different areas of your life. We got home, your parenting, your home, and your marriage. Again, do not base your leadership based on your position. Your leadership is based on those 16 or 17 attributes that we showed this morning. Don't cop out and say, well, because I'm the dad, I'm the leader. No. Whatever. Yeah, that don't work. All right? Or because I'm the manager at work and it says in my title, I'm the... No, that does not make you a leader. Okay? Those attributes that we talked about are a good start to understand what real leadership is. So take some time, fill this out. I want everybody to do it. Some of you are going to think, oh, this is so stupid. This is not church. This is a classroom today, so I'm not going to participate. Well, go to the bathroom or something. Just don't walk out the door. All right? All right, here we go. Guys going to the bathroom now. Question over here, real quick, question. You got to tweet that question in, okay? You got to tweet that in. No, I'm just playing. If you're not a parent, just leave it blank, okay? That's a great question. If you're not a parent, leave it blank. And if you're not married, leave the marriage part blank, okay? Yeah, definitely. Just leave it blank. Yeah, please. If that doesn't, or may you just check not engaged and say why? I'm not a parent because I don't have any children. That's a good reason. Okay, that's a good reason. Okay. Anything else, real quickly, that can be beneficial to everybody else, question wise? Wayne. Can't we be a leader and a follower? Yes. Thank you. You can. You can. But understand. But don't cop out on every one of them and say that. Okay. I want you to be very, this is where we want you to think critically about this, okay? Yes, you can. There are certain situations when you're playing, where you're playing both roles, okay? But I would say those situations are probably not most of the time. Does that make sense? Yeah, but absolutely, you certainly can. Any other questions that might be good for the whole group to clarify? Is it possible? Yeah, there we go. What I think Wayne just related to that, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, sir, Robert. A good leader is people to follow. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the quality of the people that follow them are usually a good indication of the good leaders. Absolutely. There's no question about it. A lot of times good leaders are, people miss them because they don't have to be very visible because the people are really good. Absolutely. Anything else? Okay, let's go to it. I'll walk around. Raise your hand from now on. Any questions, I'll come to you. If I can't answer it, I'll send Todd to you, okay? And we hope, by the way, this raises some questions for you that you will tweet in, okay? Or text, tweet or text? What are we doing? Both? Text. Okay. All right, cool. Now, if you don't feel the need to do this, there's probably a deeper problem that we need to deal with. But anyway, this is designed to help you, okay? Husbands and wives, I hope this can also cause some opportunity for dialogue during the week, maybe, around some of these issues, okay? Not right now, no. Over Sunday lunch and beyond. Halftime of the football games today. I know you can't wait for this one. This is going to be a good one. How many of you need a little more time? Raise your hand. Nothing wrong with that. Okay. Todd, come and help me for a minute. Keith Green microphone. Me, Mr. Microphone. Anybody want to share any of your thoughts real quickly? Three people.
Microphone is anything
that you put down. Todd will come to you. Anything that you want to share that you discovered about yourself, maybe, or that became apparent or maybe more clear to you? Anybody? Ricky in the front. Up here, Todd. Okay. One, Ricky in the back. No, not Lord, Ricky.
I lead on my strong points in our marriage, but I let her lead on her strong points in marriage and parenting.
Okay. So she leads all the time, your family says. The family says she leads all the time. Okay. She lets you feel like you're contributing sometimes, though. That's a good, Tara, that's a good sign of a leader right there. Somebody else. John, was that you? Oh, I had a hand up. Somebody else had a hand up? Summer. Yeah, Summer.
I lead Dwayne all the time. Along with what he was saying as far as leadership and marriage.
Get a little close in there, Todd, with him. Yeah.
Rick, he's being a space invader. No, as far as leadership in a marriage, you're also leading by example for your children.
Yes, you are. Absolutely. That's a big thing. That's huge. That's huge. Now, leading by example is a lot easier. It's easier said than done. Okay, just follow me. Well, what part of you do I follow? You know, what are you trying to lead me in terms of example? Anybody else? Somebody else? One more. Sheila in the back. Sheila's always in the back, except when she's in the front. So,
I think we were just talking about it a little bit, and I'm not trying to be, I don't know what the word is. Anyway, when it comes to the spiritual issues, but that is definitely Bob's strength, and he definitely is the leader in that in our home. When it comes to practical things and the home and those kind of things, I tend to do that. Mm-hmm. But then another thing we found out, we kind of work in partnership on, if there's like a product or a problem kind of thing, an investigation needs to be done, this man loves to go get on the phone. He loves to do that, and I hate that. So anytime data needs to be gathered, if it's on the computer, I'll usually do that. But if it's phone calling, he does that, and then we sit down and discuss it and try to come up with a plan.
Good. That's an example of strengths working together. And you guys been married now. Bob, y'all been married how long, Bob? How long y'all been married, Bob? 37 years. Okay. So, see, that's a big... You know, a lot of that can really come out over time. Really, really cool. So anyway, y'all ignore that. I know Bob, so I know how to take that. Y'all may not, so okay. Anybody else? Okay, let's deal with a couple of questions. First of all, how prominent is personality in determining whether I'm a leader or a follower? Okay? Is that kind of... In other words, here's the thing. Often what we do is we mistake bold, daring, sometimes loud people as being leaders. Have you ever been in you go into a new area, or let's say in a new circle of influence somewhere, usually the people that tend to speak the most and the loudest, we automatically assume that they are leaders. Is that a valid assumption? No, but we continue to make it. It's not. What did Jesus say if those who are wanting to be, actually, those who want to be first have a problem, but he says those who are going to be first are those who were willing to be the last, basically, right? The servant is the one who is willing, who is going to be the one who is going to make the best leader. So just if you're the loudest person in a situation, it may be because your personality is great. No, I'm not saying you shouldn't be a loud person. I'm a loud person, okay? But your heart, it goes back to your heart. What is your motive, okay? Are you a loud person because you want to use your external, that external persona to try to put you in a position that is of leadership, And then sometimes the softest, quietest people can be those who are truly leaders in situations. Okay? Make sense? Make sense? Okay. How many of you felt when you did your survey that you had to admit, I've struggled with this leader-follower thing? Would you be willing? Have you struggled with that as we talked about this and maybe a different? Raise them high. I want to see them, okay? I really struggle with it. Bud, you've confused me. You've kind of put some conflict there in my mind, in my heart, et cetera. You know, and that's not our intent. This is not an either-or proposition. Okay, Wayne's question a few minutes ago kind of reminded us of that. There are certain areas in your life where you're going to lead. There are certain areas in your life where you're going to follow. But if you're going to be leading, you better make sure that it's by those 15 or 16 or 17 items that we talked about that we gave you this morning. Okay? What are some suggestions to be a spiritual leader in the workplace without getting in trouble for preaching at work? Okay. Well, first of all, somebody mentioned a while ago leading by example, right? That's the first and foremost and most foundational thing that you can do. That's very important. The second thing you can do is look for, well, you pray. Here's a good prayer, I think, for us in this regard. God, make me aware of teachable moments that I can have with other people. Okay? I think what you got to do is you got to back up a little bit and take a tendency sometimes to back up from the immediate situation and recognize that the most powerful moments of influence you can have are going to be those that are based on what we talked about earlier, spontaneity. You are not going to be able to necessarily plan those times where you're able to have positive spiritual influence on other people. You look for the moments and you take advantage of the moments. Now, depending on whether the moment is tense for someone, or you know, it's you know, they're going through something negative or whatever the case might be, you might have to back off and say, you know, I'm going to wait. I'm going to maybe touch that person tomorrow in some fashion. Okay, but I think the best thing you can do, other than leading by example, is back up, be aware, get to. Here's another thing we got to make sure we do. Leaders always know their followers. All right? If you're a real leader, then chances are you make your decisions based on what you anticipate the responses of your followers to be. Okay? Now, you have got to do that in the workplace. You've got to get to know the people around you well enough. Now, some people say, well, it's going to take me 30 years, and so during that time, I'm never going to be able to witness to them because it's going to take me 30 years to get to know them. No! You've got to take some risks. Get to know them enough so that you can understand and recognize when those teachable moments come. There are some people who are doing a really good job of that, and if whoever submitted this, and if you like some advice, I can kind of get you connected with some folks who I know are pretty good at this, okay, at discerning, you know, when somebody needs something and when how to do something about it and what to do about it and all that good stuff, okay? Are there other questions? Any more up, guys? One's coming up now. Okay. All right, the first one about the both my wife and I are leaders, what do? Lead, okay? But figure out, don't allow, but it's kind of like what we heard a few moments ago. Negotiate in terms of where your strengths and your weaknesses are. Talk about these things and understand who takes the lead on this and who takes the lead on that. You know, we've been married 27 years, okay? And so that's a pretty good feel for us in our marriage. There are certain things where I'm horrible on making a decision about because, you know, when we go out to eat on a Friday night or a Saturday night, figuring out where to go is an absolute. People would look at that and say, oh, my gosh, you guys are just so dysfunctional. But, you know, the point is that is not that big a deal to us. It's not important that important to either one of us. You know, the main thing to me, and it's going to sound mushy, we're together and all that good stuff. But so where we go is not that big a deal. But we kind of invest our decision-making capital, you might say, typically on issues that are more weighty. Okay, can you be a true leader when no one else is willing to take the lead? Wow, that's a great question. I want whoever threw that one up there, that's a good one. Can I be a true leader when no one else is willing to take the lead? Something needs to be done, but nobody's willing to step up. Am I assuming, is that kind of in the ballpark what we're talking about here? The question, the answer, or my response is, that's the answer. None of these are answers. These are responses. Okay, you know the difference, right? I copped out, so you can't go say, Bud said this, and if it doesn't work for you, you can come back. You can't blame me if I say this was a response, okay? All right, but here's the deal. If something needs to be done and nobody else steps up, you can be a true leader by taking something that we talked about, and we didn't use the phrase in our 16 points, initiative. initiative. Remember, what's initiative all about? It's about figuring out what needs to be done and seeing that it gets to be, that it gets done. And see, if you don't consider yourself, let me tell you, many leaders have arisen out of, you know, not even having any self-awareness of leadership by doing just this, by stepping in an area that they might have been passionate about or something that was important, and they step in and provide leadership, and something gets done, and wow, you know what happens? That flywheel we talked about begins to shift. It begins to turn. So I would encourage you, if you see areas where you feel there's no leadership, or if the leadership that is there is not doing what it should do, that you be honest about it and you find ways to get engaged and try to help and to move that cause or that organization, that team, whatever the case might be, forward. So yes, I think that you can become a true leader. But in doing that, you need to make sure, if you're going to do that, to take those list of 16 or 17 things that we gave you and be aware of those. Just be aware. Now, you're not going to do them all at one time. You're not going to perfect them and all. But just kind of have those in the back of your mind and saying, these are some of the principles, these are some of the things that I need to keep in mind if I'm going to jump up and try to help in this situation. Okay? Does that make sense? We're about done. If you need to be a leader and you're not comfortable, what are some resources? Okay. Other people is the best one. Find people who are true leaders, because true leaders are always going to be willing to invest in you and answer your and address your questions and help you with that. Some other books, if you're looking for a book, I'm a book person, so I'm going to tell you books. A lot of y'all are not readers, so you don't like it when I tell you books. A really good book, if you're looking for help in the business world, is a book by Jim Collins called Good to Great. It talks about level 5 leadership and what he looked at in companies. That's a fairly lengthy book, but you know, it's a great read. It really is. Another book that that I like a lot is a guy named Leith Anderson in ministry. Leadership That Works. Leadership That Works. We had Leith here a few years ago for Wired to Grow with one of our statewide pastors conferences here at Integrity. And so anyway, Leith is that's a fabulous book to read on leadership. I would say mainly though, I tell you another book, and I'll tell you, it's one that I teach on all the time, is The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lencioni. You can't beat it. Quick little read. You can read it in 2 hours. Another one is Situational Leadership by Ken Blanchard. Those are 4 resources that I would give you, all of those books that I gave you are 3 of the 4 were written by, authored by committed Christ followers. The only one who is not is Collins, who is an admitted seeker. He speaks at Christian conferences a lot, and he starts off by saying, I'm not a Christian, but I understand there's a lot to be gained or to be considered around Christianity, and I'm a seeker. I'm trying to figure it all out, and I haven't made a decision yet. So anyway, those are some resources I think that would be helpful to you. Okay. Last two, Patrick Lencioni, Lencioni. Okay. Lencioni. I kind of work for him, so. And the other one is, the other one's by Ken Blanchard. Situational Leadership is the name of it. He's the guy that did the 1 Minute Manager. Okay. One more, Crystal. See Rick, because he has a lot of experience in that, okay, in handling that. Do you hear the question? The question was, if the person you're following is not doing the right thing, how do you handle it? I'm just joking. Seriously, you've got to first of all try to address it with that person. And we got something going on at 10 o'clock. We're gonna have to knock off because Daniel, we're gonna be doing some stuff around internet safety and that kind of thing in the conference center. I don't want to shortchange that at all, but Crystal does bring up a brilliant question. And what if the person you're supposed to be following is not doing the right thing? That is a treacherous situation, particularly in the workplace. Okay? The first thing you do is really try to seek some. When I say outside, I mean outside to that relationship, and far enough removed from the situation where. Because here's what we do a lot of times. We triangulate things by going to talk to somebody else that's not really involved in the situation, but they're close enough to the situation where they can actually say something that might cause it to get back and get you in trouble. So my suggestion is that you go to someone who's far enough away from the situation where that you can trust and get some coaching on or with, and then kind of let that person help guide you through it. Obviously, confrontation is not negative. Healthy conflict is what you want to get out of it. Healthy conflict is defined as passionate, unfiltered debate around issues that really matter. Okay? So you want to be in a position where you can get into that type of discussion with the leader and help them understand. The problem is, if they're a real leader, they'll take it. Now, they may not agree with you, but they will hear you, and they will process what you have to say. If they have inherent insecurities that basically cause you to think, well, they're not, you know, if they don't have a sufficient degree of emotional maturity and intelligence, and let's say they get real sensitive, and every time somebody says anything that might be remotely critical, they just all just break down and just go to pieces, and they get mad at you, and da da da. Then you know that they're not a leader. And to be honest with you, you have to make some tough choices then. In this economy, it's not so easy as, you know, and it's tough because a lot of people who also are insecure who go into these situations do things like quit jobs prematurely, which is a stupid thing to do.
Well, I got mad at my employer, so I just left.
And, duh. Do y'all realize what's going on out there? Come on. That's not smart at all. So I would try to find the coaching from someone who's a little bit removed from the situation. Okay? Real quick, Bob. And I can always count on you to be real quick, so go ahead.
The story of David and Nathan is an excellent one for that.
That's a great point.
A good leader does not surround himself with yes men.
Absolutely.
He surrounds himself with wise, discerning men.
Yes.
Who will speak the truth in love.
Correct. That's so true. So that goes back to somebody, I think it was Robert who said something, I think it was you, Robert, you can tell a leader oftentimes by the quality of the people that he, and Robert's in second service, y'all may not know him, he really is legit, he does go to church here, he goes second service. But they surround themselves with people who will do what Bob said. They will keep them honest and they'll tell them, and they'll listen to them, they'll hear them, they'll process what they say. Okay, we got to go. Now, Daniel Pentecost is going to be doing, if you haven't signed up, it's not too late to sign up to go, right, Daniel? In Conference Room A, if you're a parent, you need this. You need to go get your snow cone and go to Conference Room A because, or maybe they'll bring snow cones to you. Daniel can figure all that out, all right? But he's going to do, he and Rick are kind of co-sponsoring this seminar that they want you to know about internet safety and security for your children.
That's
How to Be a Parent in the Internet Age. So Rick and Daniel have are pulling this thing together. And, you know, it would be great for you to be a part of that. Grandparents, for you too, okay? Because you can pass that on, obviously, into your family. So that'll be in Conference Room A just as soon as we're done here. I know we have a promo, but we don't have time to do it for Crazy Love. Todd, where will you be? Conference Center Room B. Todd will be doing a Crazy Love kind of a training seminar to kind of get you ready to help lead the Crazy Love study in your home. Right, Todd? Am I close on that? And he'll be in B. He'll be across the hall from Rick and Daniel. Okay? So go see him. If you're thinking about doing the Crazy Love group study, we need you to do the group study. We need as many people as possible to do that. Even if you haven't committed to it, you're just thinking about it, go see Todd, okay? Is that cool, Todd? So just go. Anything else you want to tell us? If you're going to the Daniel's or Rick's thing, go, okay? Just go ahead and go. Otherwise, stay and watch this video, all right? Francis Chan is the author of the book, One of the Most Incredible Men You'll Ever Want to Know, all right? So that's good. Daniel's going to have a good crowd, so that's good. But But watch this real quickly, and then we're gonna be dismissed. Let me pray for you, and that'll be our dismissal prayer, and then we can go. Lord, thanks for the day, for your love. God, thanks for leadership. Thanks for followership. Thank you for the fact that really the greatest resource of all in leadership is the Bible, and the greatest resource of all in followership is the Bible as well. God, thanks that that's our handbook and gives us all that we need to address the issues that we face every day. So thanks for the time we've had today and the time we'll have in the future to discuss these things. I pray for these people that you will empower them, Lord, that in every aspect of their life, whatever area of their walk might look, what it might be like, God, that you will help them to have clarity and assurance about what their role is to be and how they are to perform. Lord, help them to may today go a little bit further in helping them understand some of these things. We just lift them up to you and pray that you will guide them and direct them in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, take a look at this, and as you leave today, don't forget to drop your Integrity Connection card.